It's been said of the age of the internet that today's most pervasive disease is continual partial attention. And we all suffer from this disease because we have more access than ever to distractions, and we allow ourselves to be preoccupied with things that are not necessarily constructive. I asked a friend the other day who was clearly agitated and distracted what was wrong. And she said she was mad at her cousin for an argument that had been raging for days on Facebook. Dozens of people were weighing in, right? And we've all been there. In our 24-hour news cycle, social media, technology-driven lives, we sometimes don't even notice how anxious we are as we spin and spin those plates of our lives, hoping that if we move fast enough, nothing will drop and nothing will stop. That's why today is so important in our lives. Being here on Sunday worship, being together, it's a time to disconnect from one world and step into another. It's a place where we can have a few deep breaths of prayer and a time to connect with our spiritual selves and, more importantly, to God. But it's also a time where we stand up and we play music and we hug each other and greet each other and we have a ritual meal together. It's a sacred duality. Our gospel today tells a story of the duality of two women we've heard of before. They are sisters, Mary and Martha, women of means, we believe, and the siblings of Lazarus, which we know was Jesus's really good friend. They're very close to Jesus, and that is supposedly why he visits their house in our passage today. Both women are devoted to Jesus, but their devotion manifests in different ways. So many sermons, so many academic papers, so much time has been lavished on this passage, and it has been used in all sorts of anxious ways. Scholars and preachers have proposed that the meaning of this passage is that learning or listening or contemplative study is better than good works, as if being and doing can be separated or compartmentalized in our Christian lives. But that's not the bigger meaning of this passage, in my estimation. Martha's go-to mode of devotion to Jesus is by doing what is expected of her by society, that is, preparing the house, perhaps cooking a meal. Mary, on the other hand, is veering off the path of acceptable behavior for first century Jewish women with her devotion to Jesus by being one of his students or disciples. Her not being in the kitchen rattling those pots and pans would have been scandalous. Writer Matt Anslow says that being a disciple in the first century Judaism would mean aspiring to be a rabbi like their teacher. But Mary was a woman. She could never become a rabbi. And sitting at the master's feet, well, that didn't just mean that literally. It didn't mean just sitting at next to someone's feet. It meant being a disciple. And Jesus, being keenly aware of the social norms and laws of his people, knew that taking on a woman disciple was pretty radical. But that's how Jesus rolled. Justice reimagined. Martha is angry that Mary is not helping with the work of hospitality, and maybe Mary is going against society's grain, and that makes Martha angry. So Jesus gently rebukes Martha and goes on to tell her that Mary's activity is the better one. But here's where I differ from other commentators, because I don't believe that Jesus is saying that being is better than doing, or that being a disciple is better than cooking for friends, or that all women should be rabbis. I think Jesus is saying that it is better to be devoted wholeheartedly, even doing something out of the ordinary, than to be half-heartedly doing the right thing, anxiously, distracted, and holding a grudge. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Mary is bucking society, being an unlikely disciple that's focused and ready to learn. Martha is dutifully performing tasks within the cultural norm, but she's really ticked off. So ticked off that she brings Jesus, her friend and master, into the gripe with her sister. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Then tell her to help me." In other words, tell me I'm right. I'm the one in here doing what I'm supposed to do. It kind of reminds me of the parable of the prodigal son, which we had not too long ago. The oldest son does all the right things, remember? And he's super mad when his ne'er-do-well younger brother, who's blown all the inheritance and lived with pigs and done all sorts of bad stuff, is welcomed home by the dad with a lavish party. Doing the right thing does not make you more devoted. Remember, last week was the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the right people, the Levite and the priest, just pass right by that poor guy in the ditch. The unlikely passerby was the one with his heart in the right place. Right and wrong? In God's kingdom, what counts is in your heart, your love of God, your love of others, your faith, your commitment, and your part in Jesus' idea of justice. Both Mary and Martha are devoted. Mary by listening and learning from Jesus' words. Martha by serving and showing gracious hospitality. Jesus does not say that Martha is wrong because she's devoted in a different way. He says she's misguided because she's worried and distracted and angry. How many times have we lost an argument and carried out a task with our hearts in the wrong place? How many times have we carried our anger into relationships with others? How many times have we carried our continuous partial attention into our jobs, into our kids' recitals, into worship? Our passage today is classic Jesus. Because again, he turns societal norms upside down. And he shows us a new way to look at rules and justice. And all the while, teaches us a lesson about the focus of our faith. My buddy Matt Anslow says that Jesus is not simply making a minor edit to accepted gender roles in his time. He is destroying them. And then he affirms their replacement with the unheard-of code of equality and egalitarianism. Jesus also affirms his message that whatever our roles are, we should show up with open hearts and love. And this may take the hard work of being tolerant and forgiving. Because being distracted by anger and worries of the world only blurs our vision of God's kingdom and the possibilities of true equality for all of God's children. So as we come to the table today in just a few minutes that's set with the hospitality of God, let's just leave all those anxieties behind. May we release our anger. May we participate in the sacred duality of sitting at Jesus' feet and being sent to be disciples of Christ in the world. May we breathe in new life in God that empowers us but does not diminish us. May we be moved from worry and distraction to full attention on Christ, the good part of all ministry that can't be taken away. Amen.